You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Episcopal Community Services. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Victoria Bennett, Chief Inclusion and Advocacy Officer of Episcopal Community Services, Nancy DeLaura, Manager of Volunteer Programs, Evan Colgan Davis, Opportunity Development Coach, and James Burke, Director of Workforce Development. And our guests today are Miles O'Grady and Lyndon Nesbitt Bullock. And what I was hoping for is this is a special show with Executive Leaders Radio, a special holiday show. And we're hoping to highlight a significant nonprofit organization in the region that's really got some outstanding programs. Can somebody give me a sense of what Episcopal Community Services is and what they do?
Episcopal Community Services is a social service agency. We're headquartered in Philadelphia. We're a nonprofit, and we serve participants from school age through adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Victoria, didn't you have some further explanation on what the...
Yeah, I guess what I would like to also add is that we have a wonderful mission to challenge intergenerational poverty with four core values of dignity, justice, impact, and community.
Interesting. This is an interesting organization. Evan, what's your thought regarding what Episcopal Services Community Service is all about?
Yeah, I would just add to that promoting empowerment and self-sufficiency, and then through that, you know, upward economic mobility.
Okay. And James, what do you have to add to that?
I would just add, you know, really focus on the areas of workforce development, housing, and youth. Workforce development, housing, and youth.
Interesting. And we have a guest here, Josh Silverbauer from a company called Gruen Bleen. I understand, Josh, at one time you actually hired an intern from this organization. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. We're a digital agency, and we needed an intern to help us with coding and building websites. And so, yeah, we brought on Steve Sweetney from Episcopal Services, and it was an amazing experience.
How long ago was this, and why'd you bring him in?
It's about a year ago. Mm-hmm. The co-working space where we are, Benjamin's Desk, suggested and had been working with these guys during that time and had great experiences. So we reached out to them and they suggested it.
So you hired an individual to work as an intern to do coding for your digital agency.
Yep.
So you're not doing food service, you're doing coding. You're running a digital agency.
Yes, we are.
And who here at Episcopal Services did you work with to identify this intern? Was that James?
Yeah, I worked with James.
Uh-huh. James, what do you get calls like this frequently, and why are you doing this?
So we don't get enough calls and emails. But really, you know, we were connected through our paid internship program, where I really believe, you know, just it's kind of really our role of ECS and our department, the workforce development, to really just increase just the access of opportunities and exposure to these various opportunities, whether it be in IT or construction or food services. So looking for employers like Gruen Bleen who are willing to take a chance and really just be part of the process of helping someone kind of get from the entry level to adding those skills to really, you know, be promoted towards upward mobility.
James, how long have you been in your job? How long have you been doing this?
So I'm currently the director. I've been in this role for about 5 months. Mm-hmm. I've been with ECS before that for about 3 years.
So why are you doing this? Why are you here at ECS?
I think, you know, the mission spoke to me. I'm from Philadelphia, product of the public school system. Was able to go to school, and, you know, for me it was big on like exposure and seeing that, you know, just beyond my neighborhood and, you know, getting outside of that, got to see large part of the country, get exposed to, you know, just people who I wouldn't have met otherwise. So just trying to help afford those opportunities to others.
Huh, so you're paying it forward, in other words.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Evan, what do you do here?
I'm one of the coaches in the RISE program. Uh-huh. That's the workforce development program. Uh-huh. And so I work one-on-one with individuals identifying and addressing goals in the program, but also outside the program. So, and, you know, personal life, you know, where you would like to be.
Uh-huh.
I work to
have,
help.
Have you worked with anybody in this room? Have you helped anybody that's in this room?
I have. I've worked with Miles and I've worked with Linda.
Uh-huh. Miles, how long have you been involved with this program?
Since October.
Since October. So it's been 2-3 months now?
About 3 months.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Ocean County, New Jersey.
So you're from New Jersey, and you're hanging out in Philly. How'd you get familiar with this program? How'd you get acquainted with this program?
My probation officer sent me to the reintegration building, which shares the...
Your probation officer?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, we were talking earlier, and you said something that you had, you have some sort of a record or something like that, a previous record. But why do you have that record? What was going on with your family way back when?
I come from a broken home.
What do you mean?
My father's an addict. My mother's an addict.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by my sister. She's 10 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I got to be about 13 years old, I was just running wild and doing whatever a 13-year-old kid through 20-year-old kid wants to do with my life.
So you got into trouble.
Yes.
But you told me that ECS is serving a special purpose for you. What was that?
They have a family atmosphere, and it's a good support group for me because I don't have that at home because my family lives all over the country, and I'm not very close with any of them anymore.
So, wait a minute. I thought ECS was responsible or helpful in terms of helping people get jobs and stuff, but you're telling me it serves another purpose, too.
Yes, they are working on helping me with my career and building my resume, but they're also good support, and they bring opportunities to the community that people in my situation otherwise would not have.
Like what? What are you talking about?
Helping me build my resume and the life skills workshops, that things that I should have learned when I was a teenager in high school, but I didn't learn.
Like what kind of stuff? You say life skills. What do you mean by that? What kind of stuff are you talking about?
Coping skills, how to deal with people.
Hmm. You didn't learn that kind of stuff when you were a kid?
I'm a loner.
Uh-huh. That's because nobody was there to raise you. Mom and dad weren't there. They were addicts, and you were raised by your sister who was 10 years older. So who here at ECS has been helping you?
The person that helped me most, he was one of the life skills coaches, Cordell.
Uh-huh.
I connected with Cordell because he's got a similar background to me. Uh-huh. He went through the struggle, and he overcame it. And he just wants to help people that are in a not a very good place in their life. He wants to help them overcome things.
Why? Why do you think he wanted to do that? Why do you think he wants to do that?
Because he's been to the bottoms, and he's seen the worst of the worst, as mm-hmm. have I, and that's why we clicked like we did.
Mm-hmm. So you developed a personal relationship with him.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Nancy, weren't you telling me earlier, you're the manager of volunteer programs. Exactly. What are you supposed to be doing here?
So what I do here at Episcopal Community Services is connect people to different volunteer opportunities, some of which are we have two volunteer visiting programs, both for senior citizens who are isolated, homebound, or frail. Some of our senior citizens live independently in their own homes. A large majority of them live in assisted living facilities and skilled nursing facilities. I think the one thing they all have in common is the fact that they have no family or not family close by. The other thing that I work on here, we have a mentoring pilot. Part of the mentees for the pilot come from the from the RISE initiative, from the Workforce Development Program.
Do you have enough volunteers?
No, we never have enough volunteers. So we're always looking for more. And if people are interested in learning more about our volunteer opportunities, they can visit our website at ecsphilly.org.
Let me have that one more time.
ecsphilly.org.
And what's your role here? What's your title here?
So my title is Manager of Volunteer Programs.
So your job job is to try to find volunteers and then match them up with the folks that need their help?
Exactly. Uh-huh. So either that, or we also have a couple of very easy volunteer opportunities that you can do when you have the time to do it.
Huh. So you're able to structure what the volunteers get involved with in order to suit their needs as well as the organization's needs.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's sort of interesting. What's the website address again here at ECS?
The website address is www.ecsphilly.org.
Let me have that one more time.
www.ecsphilly.org.
All right. We've been speaking with folks here at ECS. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
Ethan Milrod.
And the name of the organization?
GoTo.
GoTo. Why is the name of the organization GoTo, and what do you do for your clients?
Well, we act as a single technology source for our clients, kind of like the go-to guys and girls.
And what kind of technologies do you help your clients with?
We provide our clients with the full range of technology solutions, anything that is voice, data, or video related.
Why would they need one source in order to do this stuff?
Well, we found that over time, clients have lots of so-called go-to vendors, but they're truly not go-to vendors. They're biased, they're subjective, and oftentimes business owners are pulling their hair out trying to bring technology together. They really need a company to bring it all together for them.
So because there's so many different competing kinds of technologies and conflicting technologies, and if you do this, you can't do that, you're telling me you'd like to come in as an unbiased source and try to give them a hand with that stuff?
Well, we want to let business owners focus on their business and what's important to them and not have to worry about the technology. We'll bring that all together.
Are there times that you come in as a consultant, as a second opinion, rather than the guy that's actually selling them the stuff or integrating the stuff?
Always, always. We have to understand their business so we can apply technology, not just throw technology up against the wall to see what sticks.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't your job to make the most money where you want to sell them whatever you can make the most money on?
We're never thinking about what we're going to make the most money on. We're thinking about what's the best fit for the client. The money comes later on.
So you're concerned about the relationship with the client.
Exactly.
So I guess the other problem is, like, there's so many emerging technologies. You got to be on top of all these tech. Do you have any partners in the business?
I have two business partners. Yeah,
figures it, because this is not something you could be able to do yourself. There's so many changing technologies. What's the website address of this organization?
It's GoToTech. That's GoTech.com.
Let me have that one more time.
GoToTech.com.
Excellent. And your name is?
Ethan Milrod.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
James Madison.
And name of the organization?
Expressway Cinema Rentals.
And James, where are you from originally?
Philadelphia and then Abington.
Philadelphia and then Abington. Did you mention something happened in your childhood with your brother or something?
Well, my dad was married prior to my mom, and when he got a divorce, it put a lot of stress on his relationship with my brother, and eventually we were separated.
Uh-huh. How'd that make you feel?
I remember being really upset about it, and then meeting him later in life was really actually a positive influence on me.
You remember being upset because your brother got taken away?
Yeah, he was not welcome back.
So you have this thing about the relationships. Your relationships mean a great deal to you.
I think I'm very passionate about
the relationships. What's that have to do with your business?
Most of our business is the relationships that we have with our employees and our contractors and the people that work for us.
How about the community? You think you're tying it into the community as well?
Yeah, we're very active in the community and making it a better place for us to work and the people that work for us to, you know, live.
Those aren't just words, though. You really mean that, don't you?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time on it.
What do you mean?
We're involved in numerous organizations that advocate for the community and groups that help it be a better place.
So you've got a lot of brothers and sisters, it sounds like.
It feels like that, yes.
What do you mean it feels like that, yes?
People just actually come to the shop to hang out all the time.
Why do they do that?
I think because we do develop really close relationships with the people we work with very closely.
Paralleling a relationship you have with your brother?
I think that could be something that influenced mm-hmm. that.
What's the best part of your job?
I think it is the impact that we have on the community and the people that work for us. Mm-hmm. We've made it a place that they are very comfortable and happy to work.
Mm-hmm. What's your website address?
ExpressWayCine.com. That's ExpressWayCine.com.
Let me have that one more time.
ExpressWayCine.com, ExpressWayCine.com.
And your name again?
James Madison.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And when we took a quick break, Miles O'Grady was telling me something that he feels is special here at ECS. What was that, Miles?
I think it's very great how here at ECS, they take the time to help each individual set their goals and then achieve them.
What do you mean by set their goals and then achieve them? What are you talking about there?
They ask you what you want from your life and how you plan to go about achieving that goal, the steps that you're going to take in order to get that goal, and they will help you get to that goal.
That's interesting. That's different than the way it's done some other times. Evan, weren't you explaining to me there's the difference in the approach here?
Yeah, so the change in approaches that we're taking now is we're stepping more away from your traditional case management model. Excuse me. And when I say case management, that usually refers to a dynamic where, you know, a participant or a client comes to a program. I sit there and decide kind of where this person should go, mm-hmm. what goals they should be working on, mm-hmm. and put them on that path. Mm-hmm. What that doesn't do is take into account the uniqueness of the individual, take into account what already motivates this person, you know? And so the coaching aspect is more, you know, we have a saying where you're the expert of your life, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm the coach, so I'm here to meet you halfway there. Mm-hmm. So you're the driver, you know, I'm in the passenger seat with a map that mm-hmm. might help us get there quicker, you know?
Interesting. James, we were talking earlier about life skills and the development of life skills. I'm not sure I understand that stuff. And will you explain that to me?
Yeah, so, you know, within the RISE Initiative program, it's essentially a job readiness program, but as, along with the coaching that Miles and Evan spoke to, you know, we really saw life skills being important as well. Mm-hmm. So learning those skills that you need to have in the workplace of, you know, the resume, cover letter, effective communication with your colleagues, but you also need just some of that balance of, you know, time management, budgeting, you know, for some folks who don't have a support system, how do you start forming a healthy network of individuals around you that can give you positive feedback, hold you accountable? How do you handle constructive criticism? These are things that some people don't have when it kind of come into the workplace. So you see that kind of manifest itself of, hey, I'm your supervisor. I'm giving you feedback on something. You take it as a personal attack. You lash out at me, you get fired. Uh-huh. You know, versus helping someone really to be able to take a step back to how do you disagree with someone in a respectful and professional way within the workplace.
Well, that's what Miles was talking about. Exactly. Maybe that's one of the reasons he got in trouble when he was younger is because nobody really raised him and taught him that kind of stuff. And now that he's got this family, you know, you guys are really helping expose him. Is that fair to say, Miles?
Yes.
That's interesting. All right. And Linda Nesbitt Bullock. So tell me a little bit about why you're here nowadays and how this organization might be giving you a hand.
Okay. When I first started the RISE Initiative program, I had met Ms. Tamika Holder out trying to, you know, bring people into the program. And I stopped and asked her because last time I heard of RISE Initiative, it was from 18 to 24. And I had asked her, I said, is this program 18 to 24? She said, no. It used to be, now it's 18 and older. So that right there drew my attention because what the flyer said, it was like, help me with critique my resume, help me to coping skills in the workforce, because life skills is just basically a direction of them giving us the coping skills that we need for us to utilize them. Everybody needs something different. Everybody don't use the same, need the same things. Mm-hmm. That's what makes us unique, like Evan was speaking about. And I came in here and I had a coach, Mr. Chris, that was like, Linda, you know, hey, it's time. You know, you can try other things if the door is open for you, because this was a 10-week program, and I took the necessary steps to research, get information, apply, and then attend. I reached those goals. So I'm currently in a training program that I enjoy, and also enjoyed attending ECS, where I had a support system that was made up of various people like Nancy DeLuca. Me and her, I'm a part of her mentoring program. And then also I applied to volunteer before I became a mentor. So the ECS program, it has so many different doors that we can go through and utilize. And today I'm just truly grateful to be a part of it.
So you, did I hear that you, not only are you a participant within ECS, you're also a volunteer?
She didn't match me yet.
So Linda, I met Linda at a Rise Speed networking event, which we always could use extra volunteers who have an interesting job or career perspective to share. I met Linda there, and I was sharing how I am the manager of volunteer programs. She and I spoke afterwards, and she applied to be a volunteer in our senior citizen visiting program.
Wow.
Very well.
So what I'm understanding is that Linda not only is able to benefit from the organization, but it's giving back to the organization.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that's very unique to ECS, where we see that not only do we help people, but the individuals that we're helping also have the ability to give back, that nobody... Even though somebody may be struggling in one area of their life, they still have so many talents and time to share and give to somebody else.
Yeah, why are you doing that, Linda? I mean, if you need some help, why are you spending your time offering the volunteer too?
Because, you know, an old saying that my grandmother gave me is that you can help yourself by helping yourself. And I see it as though if I am able to help someone else, to bring a smile upon their face or just do their dishes or take them to the market or, you know, take them for a long walk. If that gives them a sense of life, I'm willing to do it at no cost.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because, you know, love is a many splendid thing. And we have to let people know that they are loved.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that here with the folks at ECS?
Man, yes.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? I thought it was a program you went through.
It is
through.
A program, but the thing is that these people here, they're not doing it just for the paycheck. They're doing it because it's something that they enjoy doing, and you can feel that it's unique. It's real. It's not act or performance.
So how you've been involved here for a number of months, and you're feeling this about the team here at ECS, is that they care beyond the dollars?
Yes.
And you're feeling that personally. You've had that experience of them.
Oh, yes, I have. Because there have been many a days that I might have felt some type of way, and I was able to interrupt or intrude on a coach or my alumni or Nancy, whoever was available, or even Miles. You know, whoever was available, we are willing to give more than beyond just attending the program and leaving and just putting your time in. You got to stick around sometimes. You got to see what other people has to offer, not just me, but to Miles or to Evan.
So you spoke about there's alumni. What do you mean alumni? What do you mean?
Alumni is people that already completed the 10-week program.
And they're staying involved?
Yes.
Why don't you just move on?
Why move on when you have a sense of connection and people that understand you and people that know the ladder that you chose to climb?
So you're, as opposed to moving on because it's just a program, it's really what Miles was talking about earlier. It's a family.
That's right. It's not just a program, because here at ECS, people cares.
People care, and you've experienced that personally.
Oh, yes.
And then you chose to get involved as a volunteer because you want to give back.
That's right.
So even though you may need some help, you want to give help.
That's right.
And what was that your grandmother told you?
My grandma told me a lot of things. But today, I'm just going to keep it like this, that if I don't, I only keep what I have by giving it away.
Was that again?
I only keep what I have by giving it away.
Huh. That's interesting. And you're really committed. It sounds like you're really committed to this organization. It's really become a pretty significant part of your life.
Yes. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I attended a heart walk with them, and I really enjoyed myself Mm-hmm. That was the first volunteer thing that I did with ECS.
Actually, we're going to run out of time. Nancy, what's the website address of this organization again?
Our website address is www.ecsphilly.org.
Let me have that one more time, please.
www.ecsphilly.org.
All right, this is Herb Cohn. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. They've succeeded in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars, and some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. And your name is?
Peter Snelling.
And so Peter, what organization are you with?
I work for Merrill Lynch, Division of Bank of America.
And your role at Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, what do you do there?
Well, our title is wealth management, but what we really do is help clients achieve and maintain their wealth so that they can draw income over their lifetimes.
So you're helping people manage their money so that it grows over the course of their lifetime as opposed to disappears, hopefully.
That's the idea.
And you've been doing this in many instances for families where you're managing sometimes the third generation of wealth. So not only did the grandparents like you and the parents like you, but the kids like you as well.
That's true.
So you've proven that you've been able to weather different ups and downs in the financial markets and cycles. Otherwise, these families would have left you. Am I wrong about that?
Well, our job actually is not to figure out what's going to happen next, because that can't be done. Our job is to make sure that it works no matter what happens next.
Well, that's interesting. And you've been doing this for how many years now?
32.
32 years. So you've certainly proven, regardless of the economic cycles, that you're able to keep clients and keep them happy. And you've got, I guess, the wide variety of products in terms of stocks and bonds and everything else under the sun because you're Merrill Lynch. So you've got the whole variety of colors you can play with. It's just a matter of which colors the client feels most appropriate.
Well, I think that's true, and most investment firms have all the tools. It's really what you do with the tools that matters, not what you have.
How can the listening audience get in touch with you and talk to you further?
My website is peter_snelling@ml.com.
Let me have that one more time.
peter_snelling@ml.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. And Evan, I thought you had a couple questions you were interested in asking Miles. What was it?
Absolutely, yeah. So just to kind of touch back into what we were talking about, one of the amazing things about what we're able to do here at the program is work with people who bring so much to the table. Our participants come in, and they're highly motivated. They have a lot of strengths, a lot of interests, and the beauty of what we're doing with this coaching model is we're being able to meet people halfway and create networks, you know, between participants that can then, you know, go off with these strengths, with these skills, and go on to affect other people. And so, Miles, you were telling me a little earlier about something you might be interested in as an alumni.
Yeah, they have life skills workshops here, and I would like to come in for workshops for other young people that are in my position, either already felons or at-risk youth, you know, to tell them that's not the life to live, you know. Like, I would like to help these kids, you know. There's other outlets and there's better options than going to jail, you know, and I want to get that out there.
Wait.
I want to do that as part of volunteering. I want to come back and do volunteer workshops.
Why might they listen to you?
Because I've been through it.
Been through what?
J- jail, the struggle.
So you're thinking that they might be able to relate to you because you've been there and done that.
And I overcame it.
And you overcame it. So you're an example of what really can be done.
Correct.
Uh-huh. I got it. Victoria Bennett, what's your title here, and what do you do at Episcopal Community Services?
Okay, well, I'm Victoria Bennett, and currently for the past, I guess, year and a half, almost 2 years, I serve as the Chief Inclusion and Advocacy Officer.
What's that mean? What are you supposed to
do? Now, what that means is the organization, ECS, has been very, very methodic and intentional about realizing that things are changing. Things are changing in the marketplace. Things are changing in the workforce, and then also ultimately the workplace. And we want to make sure that we are providing our staff and our programs with what I call a toolkit to really arm them with knowledge, skills, and awareness for when they encounter diverse individuals, diverse coworkers, diverse participants who come in the program. And I think I've been here for 25 years with ECS, which has been a long time. And earlier you asked one of the co-hosts why they were here. And just listening to everyone talk here today, you know, I guess I just really want to say that one of the reasons why I stay here is because of the work that ECS does, because of the commitment that ECS has done. I've always said that ECS, you know, they live it out. They just don't talk it. And for 25 years, I've had the opportunity to experience that. So in this position...
To experience what?
To experience really addressing what the issues are. You know, when we are come upon, you know, changing things in society, changing things here in Philadelphia, that we step up to the plate and we say, you know what, we have to do something about whatever the current issue may be. And what I love that we're actually doing now is we understand that looking at diversity and inclusion is something that's really, really important to do. And I think that's what also separates us from other organizations. There's not a lot of nonprofit organizations who are really focusing on diversity and inclusion.
And when you say focusing on diversity and inclusion, are you talking about the team here at ECS or other kinds?
I'm talking about the team here at ECS. I'm also talking about what diversity is, and it's a collection of ideas. It's a collection of perspectives. It's a collection of, you know, cultures and processes in a way that individuals live. You know, I think one of the things that we are doing, that we have to continue to do, is really understand and recognize that we have a diverse amount of different people who come here. And something that was mentioned, and we have four core values, and I guess I want to just speak about the value of dignity, because we honor the inherent worth of every human being. That's something that we really are striving to highlight. So part of what my job is to help to provide the leadership, to help the organization to figure out processes and systems to put into place so we can ensure that we're doing that for our staff as well as our participants.
The thing about respecting every individual really is part, it's like your middle name, isn't it?
That's something that's really, really key here. Well, I was just listening to a lot of things.
But how about you personally? Why is that so important to you personally?
Well, it's really important to me personally because an individual's experience is what's really key. You know, we've been talking about, you know, particular programs. You can have all types of programs. It can be something that you read on paper, but you can have the best program. But if my experience is negative and my experience is not engaging, nothing else will happen. So I think those are some core themes that we sort of talked about today. And that's really was personal to me. And that's one of the things that has actually kept me here at ECS, because we sort of put our money where our mouth is in terms of what we need to do.
If I could add, I think that dignity piece that Victoria touched on is a huge thing that we hear, you know, throughout this conversation around just that familiar environment. You know, it's very intentional how we try to structure our programming, you know, how we onboard the team. Because we see, you know, people who walk through that door as equals, not as if, you know, we're on a higher level playing field versus our participants, where, you know, I think for me, like, our participants are our subject matter experts. They know the system better than we do. They can speak to what they need more versus us trying to hit our heads against the wall and saying, like, oh, we need this. They can say, hey, you know, other programs are doing this. You guys should be zagging over here versus, you know, going swimming the same way as the other programs. So we really, you know, lean on participant feedback on what individuals want to see, what they, you know, what they want to get out of the program. you know, what we need more of. You know, we really need to use that information to help inform and
structure. Well, it sounds to me like you're running this like a really smart online business that's really in touch with its customers, or a really smart retail organization that's in touch with its customers. You're really in touch with your customers. You really respect your customers.
Well, you know, it just makes sense to with what we're trying to do, because, you know, what experience has taught us in a lot of social service kind of history is you using that case management model, you can help somebody, you can say, go over there, you know, usher them in, but then when the program's gone, have they learned skills that they can take with them? Have they developed, you know, in their character and their abilities? Do they have the self-sufficiency, that motivation? Have they recognized those strengths that they've already brought through the door, that just because, you know, you're born in a certain zip code in the city, your skills and experiences aren't valued like they might? I mean, I know people who could be in the Fortune 500 if they had been born in a situation where they had different opportunities available to them.
So you're telling me just because somebody may not have had the opportunity doesn't mean that they're not capable.
Exactly. And a lot of times what my job is, and why it's so fun, quite frankly, is a lot of my job is to help that person see that strength in themselves. A lot of times we can be so in our lives, so kind of in the struggle, as Miles was saying, so, you know, kind of like a shark just moving forward, that we don't have the time to reflect and say, wow, what did I accomplish? You know, what skills did I utilize to, you know, address this problem or achieve this goal?
If I understand correctly, you're saying that not only are there folks that are capable, but just haven't been given the opportunity, but they themselves may not realize that they're capable.
Exactly. And so I think that we can all kind of relate to that.
Huh, that's interesting.
That's why I think we really focus on intergenerational poverty. And a part of what, you know, I've had the opportunity to work in several of the programs throughout the 25 years being here, but now I'm being asked to actually continue to work with the programs and then take it to another level, even in terms of the systems. We also recognize that there's a lot of systemic barriers that keep people who have the ability to do things, but keep them out of the arena to do it. So part of what my job is going to be is to also talk to the powers to be and say, hey, look at what we're doing here, and we want to begin to open up those barriers around systems to help our families and individuals.
What kind of barriers are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, you know, thinking about even barriers around like male and father inclusion, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about a lot here. We're working with a lot of individuals who are men, who are fathers, and just historically in social services, you know, there's been female-centric models where we really haven't focused in on fathers and the strength of fathers, and how do we really begin to talk about impacting children? So we are taking a look at it.
About inclusion. It's
not just we really are going there. We really are, and it's really because we understand that it's critical, it's really important, and that things are changing. And one of the things I'll say about ECS that we continue to always strive to change with the needs.
Yeah. What's the website address of ECS?
The website address is www.ecsphilly.org.
Let me have that one more time.
www.ecsphilly.org.
Uh-huh. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name and your organization is?
Jana Jim with Doyle Alliance Group.
And Jana, what do you enjoy about your job with Doyle Alliance Group?
I enjoy that every day I'm solving complex problems for our trusted and beloved clients.
So your clients are different kinds of corporations, and you're helping them with their employee benefits?
Correct.
And that's a pretty confusing area nowadays. There's lots of changes and there's lots of details, huh?
Extremely confusing.
So you enjoy that. You enjoy getting involved. Every day is a little bit different with helping them solve their problems and answer their questions. And you also get involved with helping them talk with their employees?
Yes. Every day is unpredictable, and I never know whether it's an employee problem or employer problem that we're resolving.
So the confusion does and the ambiguity doesn't bother you. You like that stuff. What's the website address of this organization?
DoyleAllianceGroup.com.
Let me have that one more time.
DoyleAllianceGroup.com.
And your name again is?
Jana Jim.
From Doyle Alliance Group, this has been your Business Spotlight.
And your name is?
Jennifer Geyer.
And who do you work for, Jennifer?
I work for Elwyn.
And what do you do for Elwyn?
I am the external relations manager.
And what does that mean exactly?
It means I help create the messages that we send to the out to the public.
And why do you want to send messages to the public? What do you need them to know about Elwyn?
We like to inform people in the local community and the surrounding area of what we do, the services and programs that we provide, and the help that we can offer.
People may not be aware that there is so much help in this community. You lived that firsthand in your young life. You had you have a brother. Tell us a little bit more about the personal connection you have with Elwyn.
Sure, I'd be happy to. My brother, Stephen, has lived here for over 30 years. He moved here when he was 11 and I was 14. And interesting that you say that. When I started working here a few years ago, I was shocked at the amount of what I did not know about Elwyn and what went on here and the level of care that was provided.
All the things that would offer. Correct. Why was your brother, why was he here 30 years ago?
Sure. My brother is severely mentally retarded and handicapped and nonverbal and really truly needed help around the clock with basic needs and care. And my parents realized that they could not provide that care for him. I needed a place.
You said it was the hardest day and yet the best day of your lives as a family because finally he had a place where he could be and function and be cared for at the level he really needed. You also said it really means something to every family. It's different. And what does it mean to you to have your brother here?
It is a real, true peace of mind and a safety for our family. It is the best thing that's ever happened to us. We know that he is loved and cared for and safe. And for my parents, once they moved him here, they were able to live their lives.
And what's the website address for Elwyn?
Elwyn.org.
This has been your Business Spotlight.
Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to this special edition of Executive Leaders Radio, this holiday edition. This is Herb Cohen, and we're here at Episcopal Community Services, and we'd like to talk with Daryl Pace. Daryl, I understand that you've gone through this program and had an interesting history with this organization. Tell us a little bit about why you got involved with the program.
I got involved because my sister was a participant. She came here every single day, so I was like basically not doing nothing outside of here. Mm-hmm. So she got me in here, told me this was a good program. So,
How old were you when you got involved in this program?
23 years old.
23 years old, and what was going on in your life at that point?
I was out like hanging with the wrong people, selling drugs.
How come you were out with the wrong people and selling drugs?
I was just like being with my brothers and them, like. they used to sell drugs and all that, so mm-hmm. I was flying behind their footsteps, basically.
How come you were selling drugs? Why weren't you going to medical school or something like that?
Easy money.
Uh-huh. So you didn't see any other opportunities?
No, I was just like young and dumb, if I look at it.
So wait a minute. So you're telling me that you were hustling on the street, making money selling drugs because you didn't see any other opportunity. So you came to ECS, and how does this place make any kind of a difference for you?
Yeah, it's changed my life. I look at it.
What are you talking about?
They got me coming here, like came in on time. I stayed late. They helped me with my professional development, resume. A whole lot, and also they got me a mentor. It's like to this day, I still talk to them. We still communicate. We still like hang out. They got me a couple jobs. Like now, I'm in Power Corp. They got me in there. I'm a supervisor now. So like,
where are you working now?
Power Corp. PHL.
And what is that? What kind of work do you do?
That's a nonprofit organization from 18 to 26. Basically, we just go around rec centers, clean up. We chop down invasive, plant trees, get back to the community.
And you're a supervisor?
Yeah, I'm a supervisor now.
How come they made you a supervisor? You were selling drugs a couple years ago.
Well, all the skills that I learned from here, like my time management, my work ethic, and people look up to me. So, like,
what?
Yeah, a whole 360.
How does that make you feel?
It make me feel proud because, like, now I got my own crew, and they look up to me, and people in here look up to me. I look up to everybody else.
Wait a minute, you're like the big brother to your crew. These are people you supervise?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Do you talk to them? Like, do you try to bring them along?
Yes, they also have, like, problems going home, and, like, they come to me. I be up all night talking to them on the phone. They text me 6 o'clock in the morning. So, like, it's good. Like, it's a good communication between us.
Where'd you learn how to do that stuff?
Here.
So what you learned at ECS, at Episcopal Community Services, you're now doing in your job as a supervisor?
Yes, like a whole lot of skills.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that. And you're staying up till midnight sometimes talking to these people?
Yeah, because they be going.
Are you getting paid to do that?
No, I don't get paid after the hour.
So why do you bother doing it then? It's just work.
Just trying to change the look at things in life.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
I don't want them down the wrong path like I did. Mm-hmm. At a young age, so I want them to continue doing good.
Wait a minute. So Miles and Linda told us they've been through the program here, and now they're getting involved as alumni and volunteers and giving back. Are you another one that's going to do that?
Yes, I was giving back basically today, giving back to the kids at the school.
What were you doing today? What are you talking about?
Giving like bicycles and Christmas gifts for the holiday to the kids.
You were representing ECS with some kids today.
Yes.
Were you getting paid for that?
I was last year. I was a volunteer, so I did it volunteer last year. But I did so good, they hired me.
Uh-huh. What are you doing with your money?
Trying to save up for an apartment.
So you're trying to save up for an apartment with your money. Who taught you how to do that kind of stuff?
Here in Powell Court.
Uh-huh. So you learned that at ECS. That's yes. Interesting. Josh Silverbauer, with his organization known as Grew and Bleen, this digital everything agency. I understand you hired an intern a number of years ago to do some coding for you from this organization known as ECS. I'm wondering, what was that experience like from the employer's perspective? Did they just hand you somebody and that was the end of the story?
No. They worked very, very closely with us. First in the beginning, making sure that we were just as appropriate for their program kids to come to us as employers. And then also they worked with us to, make sure that not only was the work good and sufficient, but also that their attitudes and their life skills were appropriate for a job place. And so I just remember it being a very unique experience on our end that we were connecting. It was like we were like brought into the family, so now we were part of the responsibility and also the growth of the people who are coming through here, and it was incredibly unique.
Huh. And so you were not just the take somebody and that's the end of the story. You were in constant communication with ECS because ECS was concerned that they were truly developing and you were helping truly develop this individual.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And James, isn't that part of the program that you run here?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What other questions or thoughts did you have? What else were you thinking?
I would just hope, we really try to work with small businesses and other nonprofits. So if you're really looking to add to your workforce, introduce some skills to someone, you're looking to really grow that, I would encourage someone to reach out to us, via our website.
What's the website address to do that?
www.ecsphilly.org.
www.ecsphilly.org. Cool. All right, we're going to be running out of time in a little bit. What else should we be covering here? What else should we be talking about with ECS?
I think that one of the big things I'd like to just kind of focus on is, if we've heard from all these three different stories, what we really hear is a story of creating networks, right? Is having people, join in the team, become part of our network, and then go from there and break out and become networks of themselves, networks of support. So what I think is really motivating and interesting to watch is how you have three different individuals who were, lacking certain support networks before and now have come here and use that motivation and the connections that you all made to be that for somebody else. And if we could just keep doing that, because no one's going to do it for us.
Miles, is that a fair assumption? Is that true what he just said?
Yes, and to bounce back to us three with me and Linda getting involved with the volunteer stuff, Daryl was already involved with that, and way before I even finished the program, Daryl was trying to get me involved with coming to volunteer and getting me involved with PowerCore. So this is definitely, from what he came from, he's turned his life around, and that's great, to see what this program can do for people. That's amazing.
Uh-huh. Linda, what are your thoughts about that?
And, to counteract what Miles is saying, is you got to want what ECS has to offer. You gotta want to change. You gotta want what they are offering. And also to encounter and interact with other people that have different viewpoints or different insights, because we all have something to give back. Are you willing?
Wow. And Daryl, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts is what you put in is what you get out at the end of the day. So don't take this for advantage. Some people took it advantage, some people didn't. So
what are you talking about? What you put in is what you get out. What do you mean?
If you put that time and effort to come here every single day and they see you that you're doing good, you trying to change your life, they will help you at the end of the day. So that's why I look at it.
Nancy, why do your volunteers volunteer and why do they stay volunteered?
Our volunteers stay volunteering with ECS because they feel extremely connected to the person that they're matched to. And I would say for your listeners, if they really want to get more involved and see exactly how the RISE program works, we have quarterly speed networking events, and we're always looking for more people to come in and share their career perspective with our participants. And I have to tell you, I participated with the last one we held in November, and it probably has been my most favorite thing I've done at ECS since I've been here.
Why is that?
Because I think the panelists, there were four of us who volunteered that evening, and I think we thought we would be sharing our stories, but instead I learned so much about the participants that we see all the time. So I think the unique thing about our workplace is that we all share a kitchen. So when you're going into the kitchen to get tea or coffee or to heat up your lunch, you're running into one of the RISE participants. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to really make a personal connection with people that I see every single day for the 10-week program.
Victoria, what am I missing?
I guess the last thing I want to say, I'm going to quote our executive director. He often says that ECS is not a program or organization that's in the maintenance game or the maintenance programs. I want to be clear that there is programs and opportunities, and there's a place for maintenance, but ECS has methodically made the decision to not be into maintenance and to be into long-term impact.
Excellent.
What we heard here today.
What is the website address of this organization again, Nancy?
Our website address is www.ecsphilly.org.
Let me have that one last time.
www.ecsphilly.org.
All right. This is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. And thank you for joining us today. And have a nice day. Bye-bye.